Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
If you missed it, Nick was just talking about
COVID. And by the way, did everyone read that it was almost definitely from gain of function that they were being sloppy in the lab? Nobody cares.
We did our pre-roll where we were talking about stuff that couldn't make it on the podcast because it was like, we don't want to record that. But your opening line after saying welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast is that COVID was invented in a Chinese lab.
No, not invented. It was...
It escaped. It grew legs.
I'm just saying nobody cares anymore.
Nobody cares that a virus could grow legs and scurry out of a laboratory.
In the form of a pangolin. Get on an airplane. Contagion pangolin. Style.
That's so funny that the word is pangolin. That it's like, wait, it's not penguin? What is it? It's pangolin?
An animal none of us knew existed until it got us all sick and turned us all into weaponized human beings. That dulcet tone that you're hearing right now is our friend Nick Kroll. Nick, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
The little big boy himself. He's here.
Nick is our most requested guest to have.
That is true. You've been on before.
I've been on. I think I was on during the pandemic.
During the sham.
During the hoax.
During the hoax. Before we found out about Natasha's theory about gain of function and the Wuhan lab.
It's not a theory.
Dude, like,
mommy. Mommy, it's a pangolin.
I'm just reading an article, you know, that's been approved.
It's been approved?
The article's been approved?
You know, like a news article.
I'm trying to figure out what to do with my legs because I'm wearing a short pant.
Let's see.
And the socks, I would normally wear this without a sock.
They're not flashy socks.
So it's not a flashy sock, but
it's a flashy shoe.
It's a great shoe.
So I'm trying to figure out what,
I think you look pretty good. I think that's a good call with the shoes.
In post, we have like a crazy post-production team.
Okay,
here
you guys
at Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
You can paint out my legs.
We could put Yeezys on if you want, if that's something
honestly,
you're into.
Yeah,
right? Would you wear shoes like that?
Would I wear Nick's shoes? To be honest,
why do they have things on the side?
Why are you laughing?
Wait, what are the
why, do they go
why are you laughing at Nick's cool shoes?
I mean, they look cool, but I'm like,
why do they go wide on the side?
Because it seems like that would be good for a terrain shoe. But tell me, you're taking those hiking?
Oh, I take these only on pastel hikes. I'm only allowed to go on pastel hikes in these. For those watching, I am wearing Yeezys, and I'm also selling Yeezys on my website now, directly from Kanye.
Oh, because because you're a hype beast, and you used to be, despite the fact that you're truly one of the busiest people I know. Yeah. Sixth season of Big Mouth. You've got Human Resources.
He has his new special Little Big Boy out.
Despite all of it. You're in line at the Supreme Store 24 to 36 hours early to get the latest drop.
I am online with, and you can cut this if you want.
Asian teens?
Yes.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
I'll take the bullet for you.
I'm a hype beast end of the day.
Yeah.
I love it.
But now you
ask kids to wait online. They don't care because they're just looking at their phones and nobody cares where they are.
Yeah, they're like, I may as well be online somewhere.
Oh, you think
I'm going to be online on my phone.
You think the advent of the long line hype beast thing has to do with the fact that people are not bored in lines anymore?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying that I've seen them in line and now everyone has a phone, right?
Yeah, Yiannis Pappas had this bit about how we've cured boredom. And when he said that phrase, I thought that really hit me. It's like, yeah. They just algorithmed boredom out of our lives. And now we just, anytime there's any break.
Well, I used to think of cigarettes, like, I feel like cell phones were fucking death for cigarettes.
That's fascinating.
A little.
Oh, you're so right. You would just go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, if you were bored or alone, you would just like go and smoke and that would kill the time and the feeling of solitariness. And now you just have a phone, so you can go outside even, or just like get on your phone and check out.
Right, and it won't. There's no impending doom. It's just a very slow, creeping doom.
Yes,
that comes with the phone.
Yes,
a cigarette feels more healthy
than the phone.
Because it's like social and you talk. And
yeah.
Do you miss smoking cigarettes?
All the time.
Do you miss smoking cigarettes?
Mm-hmm. I could smoke one a day.
I can't.
I can't either. No.
You could smoke one a day?
Mm-hmm. No, I would like to, but then Moshe would get jealous.
And then I would start smoking and then I would die.
Yeah.
If COVID taught me one thing, it's don't fuck with your lungs.
But I thought the whole thing with cigarettes was like, it's like the greatest weapon against COVID.
There was an article. This is why your Wuhan lab theory article.
It's not my theory, Moshe.
It is your theory.
little legs scurrying out.
Mommy pangolin.
I love that, like, a pangolin is the reasonable thing to believe in.
Oh, right. We're all dubious about that.
Like, what was the animal's name? The guy's like, I don't know. Fucking pangolins?
What? You're
like, is that a penguin?
It's a circus penguin.
It's
yeah.
a circus penguin. I don't know.
Nick, I have a serious question to ask you.
Okay. I have a likely jokey answer.
Okay. But this is actually serious. And I'm in. If we could just... It's
Let's
kinda,
bring it down.
It kind of relates to what Natasha's talking about with the lab leak and stuff like that.
My theory.
What does Harry Styles taste like?
Like, what is it like to kiss him? Or what does he taste like when I eat his flesh?
Oh, I bet he tastes like cigarettes.
Pangolin. Yeah. It's got
to
be pangolin.
He's cute enough to still smoke.
Oh, and British. All those European people, they still smoke. Wait, how do they...
Music, yeah. British, that to that, and then, yeah. Young
that,
dude.
Yeah, they... I'm wondering, I feel like smoking did get generally less cool, but a lot of very cool young people smoke because they still got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Harry tastes, I don't know. I feel like Harry's just, it is all very, very cool.
Everything about him is cool.
Yeah. In a non, I don't mean that like disparagingly. You know what I mean? It's just like,
I have to say, that's kind of how I feel about my daughter.
Is she cool?
I just feel like everything she... Like
she just got it.
Yeah, like she even put my bracelet on the different Natasha. Wrist than I usually do.
And you're like, this is better.
I just trust her. I don't know. She just seems like she knows more than
this me. Is like classic parenting delusion. Let me guess, Nick. You think your son is like really cool and special?
Yes, but it's different because he is. When he puts a bracelet on whatever part of my body, I accept it.
My brother's.
I'm just saying, I think she knows something I don't know because, like, she just seems like she's got it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's not that you're wrong. It's that you have love-colored glasses. Mm. How is life as a dad now?
Well,
I
just
got
it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Do you relate to that at all?
I do. I mean, I just got a new prescription for love colored glasses. and
I actually just got one for Love Potion 69.
Oh,
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
See, that's honestly.
Not related to parenting.
One, but it is related to Jewish parody songs. Love Potion 69? Is that what it's. Did you mean to say that?
Wait, 99. Wait.
Number nine.
Yeah,
but I love that you thought it was Love Potion 69.
And I love that you went to Jewish parody.
Of course.
Because what I thought when you said Jewish parody, and you probably aren't Jewish enough to know about this.
What?
And you're very Jewish.
I'm pretty
Jewish. You think he's
Jewish.
More Jewish than you?
In certain regard, no,
Nick
I'm not.
Is, Nick
I'm
is
not,
definitely,
but,
you're,
I, am.
You're,
but I am.
Without question, more Jewish than me in some aspects, but in some aspects, no one can hold a candle to me.
I agree that.
And this
and whatever candle that might
is
be.
Is your mom
a
Jewish?
Friday night, at the Shabbat candle.
Havdalah candle.
Havdalah candle.
Guaranteed you don't know this. There was a Weird Al
yes.
of the...
Two ultra, live Jews?
Of the, no, more than that.
Okay.
Of the ultra-Orthodox community. by the name of Country Yussi and the Stiebelhoppers.
Okay.
And what his shtick was that he would take modern pop songs and he would Weird Al them, but not to make them funny, but to make them incredibly Jewish.
Well, then he was doing what 90% of Jewish people do, which is make parody songs. I'm telling you.
That's like a main thing.
It is. It's like, I'm telling you, everywhere you go, every event, there is going to be at some point someone's going to get up and do a parody of a very popular current or former song.
So when they say we run the media, we're like, yes, but it's one very specific
but it's
slice
the
of media.
It's Jewish parody song, not Jewish parody song. We control a vast majority of that. Although I don't think is Weird Al Jewish.
Yankovic sounds.
I think he is. I feel like because he's like the accordion. Maybe is.
He's got to be Yankovic.
Right.
Yankovic?
Different than like Moshe Slushy and the Yussi crew?
Country Yussi and the Stiebelhoppers. And he had a song. Oh, this is embarrassing. He had a song called, this was one of his non-parody songs, one of his sincere ballads, called Deaf Man in the Stiebel or Deaf Man in the...
Uh-huh.
And it was about this guy whose dad was deaf. And of course, my dad was deaf.
Yeah.
And I still remember...
Famously.
Famously deaf, my dad. Now famously dead. But at the time was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then this kid goes, he was davening for Yom Kippur and then he like somehow killed it. And they were like, what is it you were thinking of that made you sing so well? And then he gets all serious. He goes, you know, my dad was deaf, he said. And last night he passed away. It's the first time that my father's heard me pray. And I'm like 8 years old crying, listening to a Walkman of Country Yessie.
Have you heard this before?
No.
This is not something you share with lovers. Yeah,
just with an entire podcast universe.
I zoned out through that whole story.
Oh, you didn't even listen to the story.
No, I did.
But it is interesting. If you've been together long enough as a couple, like you can watch each person in a couple choose moments where they're just like drop out.
Yeah. We need to like turn off for a little bit.
Of course. What about hearing your dog snore while the podcast goes on? Do you turn off for that? Do you guys
do you hear it right now?
Yeah. You can hear it. Oh, you're not wearing headphones. That's why.
That's fine, right?
No, you don't have to.
Can I just say this is a cute snore?
The only reason we have these headphones is so that we can drown out the noise of our dying dogs.
So as opposed to Pablo, this is a cute snore.
Put the headphones on for that.
Oh yeah, you gotta listen to... Oh, come on, Natasha.
I'm just saying, that's cute.
That's the best thing. That is the best podcast I've heard all year.
You know what's funny is
your dog snoring.
She just woke up and she does not appreciate what you just did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nick, how long have you been married? Three years, 4 years?
No, I've been married almost 2 years.
What is your... Are you gonna?
That's
just
a golden age. That's a golden age, baby.
Let the golden age begin.
Oh yeah, before it sours, and it will sour.
Yeah.
What is your primary thing that you like? Your cause of conflict that is your fault, and I'll tell you.
That's not fair to ask him. Lily's not even here.
I'm not asking about Lily. I'm asking, but just to get vulnerable for us, Natasha.
We have one core issue.
Natasha's big issue, the thing that she's bad about is she won't let me borrow very insignificant things like a pair of headphones or a tote bag. She'll start getting near tears if I ask to borrow it. That's
because
her
Moshe
weakness.
Is chaos, and so he'll like all of a sudden. All of the headphones are gone, and my computer has been logged in on his, so all my everything's gone from my computer. It's all on his stuff, or you know, it's like crazy making.
She gets like Gollum with his ring, with his precious, but about like really insignificant $10 pair of Delta headphones or something.
No, but it's like I would need my life to be less chaotic, and when I can find my things, I feel like I can breathe. But if everything's always missing because there's someone else borrowing your stuff all the time, that drives me crazy. That's true.
I went on a retreat this weekend to like a weird Burning Man kind of bizarro party. One of the weirdest parties I've ever been to in my life.
Yes, I had no problem with Moshe going on a 3-day vacation.
Complained about it constantly and asked me, why are you doing that? Are you trying to be young? What's wrong with
you? Well, I didn't understand why he wanted to go to Reno for 3 nights and stay in a hotel versus like hang out with our cute family.
Yeah.
At any rate, I needed to borrow her tote bag, and she texted me, I would say, a minimum of 8 times checking in on the tote bag.
No, I just was like...
Were you just checking in on the level of chaos that the tote bag was?
Right.
Which, by the way, it was the only bag. It's my beautiful tote bag.
It's a beautiful one. It's a special one.
It's just really
big and easy. It's pangolin skin. It's really soft.
But Moshe, it's the only thing that his DJ set would fit in.
Sure, of course.
Right? Thank you,
Well,
Nick.
So you need it. If he's going to DJ in Reno, no less, he needs the right carrying kit. Right. By the way, you kept saying tote bag, and I was picturing like a weird, like a independent bookstore tote bag.
No, it's almost like a suitcase tote bag.
Yeah,
I'm
getting a vision for it now.
Are you on my side at all in terms of your stuff?
I am in all ways. My wife is not great with headphones, like loses a lot of headphones. That's a specific thing. So I do get frustrated when she loses my headphones. So I get that. I mean, what's interesting is that Moshe's framing your problem as a clearly.
Okay, we're moving on. Do we have a call actually to go to right now?
That is just
Nick, it's
like
been awesome
chaos.
To have you.
That has just been chaos. Do you know what I mean? He's like, she won't let me borrow stuff because I'm chaos, right? So,
that's kind of her weakness, is that she doesn't want me to go lose her stuff in Reno. Yeah. That's kind of her main character flaw.
Right, like that bag doesn't deserve to go to Reno, being like held by, you know, your turntable in it.
How did the tote bag make it back okay?
Tote bag made it back just fine.
How was the DJ set?
Well, to be honest with you,
it
was at the last second that I was staring at my DJ console thing, and I was like, should I bring this? And I texted my friend, do you think I should bring this? And then he's like, definitely, we'll find a way to use it. And so I brought it, and then it just stayed in the hotel.
Was it an outdoor event, or was it?
No, it was at a hotel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was very bizarre.
Told him, I was like, is this a sex party? It's like three floors of a hotel for 3 days.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you want to hear the
but it was in Reno.
You want to hear the weirdest thing that happened?
Yes.
The weirdest thing that I saw this weekend, Natasha, you're going to hardcore check out, was there was a, and I'm not even sure.
A Jewish parody Burning Man.
I saw Country Yussie and the Stiebelhopper smoking DMT. It was this, like, you walk into this room and it's a hotel room that had been completely redone in order to, it looked like an evangelical church. And it was lit like an evangelical church. And there was, you're going to hate this so much. There was a preacher and he started preaching.
This is the room of the hotel?
In a room in a hotel that had been transformed. That was kind of the whole theme of this thing, was that all the rooms have been totally transformed. It was bizarre. I mean, it was like,
was it like Dorks?
No, I wouldn't say. It was like, Burners.
It's like, right. No Dorks.
No
there.
Dorks.
Nick, what you don't question, have a leg though.
Like, I'm like, we're like in men in our 40s. We're like, were there fucking dorks there?
No, although we did walk by a hotel worker, because there was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
We walked by a hotel worker talking to another hotel worker, talking about the people there. And sure. She goes, some of these people dress like this in their regular lives. This is who they really are. She was like trying to break down who was there.
Sure.
So it was like hardcore burner, old school burner types.
And each room was like an experience. It was like a church, but instead of about God, it's about fucking kindness.
Well, actually, it was about piss.
It was about piss.
So they slowly revealed as this sermon went on, it was like a Southern Baptist preaching thing,
right?
That he was preaching about pee, and he was like, you know, our golden nectar, you know, it comes out of our urethra, but it lives in our heart. And then he would have an entourage that would go drip drip, and then the whole audience would go drip drip. It was fun, and then they started singing a song about piss, and it was beautifully sung song, but about piss. It all culminated, Natasha, you're going to love it. It all culminated in them opening up these doors and a couple walking in.
Oh, wow.
Stripping naked. Sure. And then they grabbed two black velvet sort of rugs and tossed them off. And you realize there were two golden toilets in this room.
Sure.
And they undressed. They sat on the toilet. They held hands, this couple, and they did a marriage ceremony. And they peed in real time. And the tube, there was a hydraulic tube that filled up a transparent plastic heart with pee. And that was the end of that was the culmination of the ceremony.
Wouldn't you rather be watching The Vow with your partner?
I can do that every other
like eating
every other
Indian
weekend.
Food, like
I loved it.
By the way,
like that was my favorite.
By the way, just to be clear, one of the people peeing was the guy from Mexico.
It was Keith Raniere for sure. I swear to God, Nick.
That's who would go to you something wanna, like
yes. No, every fourth guy, I was like, is that Keith? Right. I'm not even kidding. I was like, so, that looks like
so
Keith
was, so it wasn't filled with dorks.
No, it was cool. Go. It was actually filled with the smartest man on earth, with the highest recorded IQs.
Would you go back next year, Moshe?
I would go back next year. It was cool.
Damn it.
It was fun. It was really fun. It reminded me.
I need
me,
to act like Burning Man's a bigger deal so you don't like go to other versions of it throughout the year.
You don't have
we
an ally
need
here.
We you at home, honey.
Nick
you,
and I
we
burned
need
together.
You at home.
Nick and I were at Burning Man
we
together.
We did go to Burning Man, but I got to tell you, Moshe, we need you at home.
Oh my God, if we all live together, that'd be so fun. I want to live with like six couples and just like once a week make the dinner.
I love that this party in
and then like everyone could like, it would be like on a lot of acres.
I love that this burner party
you're basically pitching Nexium.
Well, that's what I was saying. This burner party in Reno, Tahoe was a little too much for her to bear, but she's now pitching a poly, comedy poly community.
Which is mainly all about dinner preparation.
Well, we already all know each other, so we know no one's a crazy person. Yeah. And then
it's
you
the
just
house
like
of the tote bag. There's a room with just tote bags everywhere, the unlimited high quality tote bags.
Well, it's hard. Like, our nanny canceled, so we have to like, now we're all scrambling, like there's no help. You but know, it's like when everyone has like a small family of three, it's like someone has to make dinner every night. Yeah, there's no one to like, I don't know. It's
or so you're like, I'm going to do something tonight. Like your partner has to be home.
For the rest of your life, like for 18 years, you know, you have to like, someone's got to be watching.
We're letting the kiddo go at 12. We're gonna give him the tools.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, it's on him.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was talking to my friend this weekend who...
Kanye West.
He's Kanye West and about like just what he thought of the Jews and stuff. No, but he is a drug person. like big time. Mm. But he also has a 10-year-old, and I was like, "What are
How
you,
do you do it?
What are you going to do? I don't know what to do because I'm in the middle, and Natasha's I think a little bit more sort of traditional than me. But this guy currently does cocaine. And I'm like, what are you going to do when your child is like, I do drugs, and it's not just like I smoke pot. Like, what are you gonna do?
Is he someone who can handle his cocaine?
Yeah, I guess so.
Assuming that his kids are going to be on drugs because 100%, he is?
100%, yes.
Wait, why?
Because I said, how's your son? And he said, oh, he started a band. And I was like, okay, so when he starts doing drugs,
yeah,
I mean, it's over for that guy. Have you ever thought about that?
I think about it because for years I've had nieces and nephews. For years. Mm. So I've always, like, when I've talked about any sort of usage I've done, like, I am slightly aware of, like, oh, like, my 13, 14, 15, however old, like niece or nephew, which would then eventually translate to my kids, there'll be a record of whatever I've said. Mm. So I don't know.
That's so interesting. That's really cool.
What?
That you got a little practice.
I got a little practice with, like, what am I going to say? You know?
It kind of set you up because I believe the bit about your nephew coming in and going, like, getting ready for bed.
Yes.
That you started doing that before you had a child, right?
Before I had a child.
I haven't been able to stop thinking about that bit since I first saw you tell it because it's so exactly, it's so applicable once you have a child. Like,
I think it was just years of my having, like, I have 12 nieces and nephews. So for years I was just watching, like, kids get served dinner and then go to bed. And weirdly, my kid isn't even of that age yet.
Right.
So, like, I'd seen enough of it.
The premise is what the children, everything, every decision they do is because they're basically powerless. And so they throw everything they do is to, like, gain the smallest nugget of power.
I think, I kind of actually, I took that part out.
That's the part that really stuck with me.
Well, I found it interesting. It was like, cause the joke was that they were like little terrorists, that they had no control. So it was like constant, like IEDs wherever they could,
right?
Just of, like, minor acts of rebellion. I don't know why I took that part out. That might have just been like, fucking, I forgot. You know what I mean? Like, the pandemic happened and, like, you had bits and then you like brought them back in.
You're
too lazy to, like, listen to them again to remember exactly how it goes.
Okay, I have a question for you, Nick, before we take a call.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're the same person before the pandemic?
I mean, I got married, had a child during the pandemic. So,
and you gave birth to a great Netflix special.
And I gave birth to a great Netflix special, but it was induced. So,
you did a C-section?
I didn't say that. Okay. I was induced though. But I generally do. Do you guys feel different?
Well, I'm thinking I'm more lazy now.
You're more lazy now.
I think so.
I think that I feel that way too.
Interesting. Well, like, because you're like, oh, resetting. Like, what were we fucking hustling so hard for?
That for sure.
Yeah.
And I think having a child in a way, I know a lot of parents have the opposite reaction, which is like, I got to get out there and make money so that my child will thrive.
Yeah.
But I sort of felt the opposite, which is just like, oh, none of this motivation, right. None of this striving for attention means anything.
Sure, sure.
It's all about this person. But I was going to, I wanted to say something about that, about laziness. Just to be vulnerable. I think part of the reason I went to the Tahoe party is because I so didn't want to. Mm. And I was trying to force my body to be like, no, I'm not a person that now just stays home and watches Nexium for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I will go.
I want to join it.
Yeah. I want. Kind of.
I just want to. And but slowly earn their respect and make my way up inside of their thing.
I admire that, Moshe.
I just wanted to force myself to get into an experience.
Sure, it's like exercise. It's like anything, you know, so that's good for you.
But I think I would say that I am the same person, but my life has changed dramatically. And also I've now been with my partner, with Lily, for like another 2 years, like twice as long. So there's a lot of elements about me that have changed, but I don't think the pandemic itself drastically changed me.
Mm. Because you also didn't have your kid during the pandemic.
We did. We had him at the height of the. We had him in the when LA was the epicenter of the world. Like, there was a morgue in the parking lot when when we had our, when Lily had our son.
Whoa.
So in the parking lot of the hospital that you gave birth?
Of the hospital, yeah. It was fucking, like nobody was allowed in. And I was like, at one point I left to go heat up some miso soup in like a employee like microwave. And it felt like I was walking into like Saw.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just was like using a microwave, a public microwave felt crazy in that time. It was, and was, we were in a hospital,
right?
And half of the hospital was just, I mean, it was a truly wild experience. So, but no, I don't, I kind of, it's so interesting. I don't know what I was gonna say.
Also, I think that like middle, like some kids had it really rough, like, you know, middle school, like there are people who didn't have middle school. Like, oh, my whole personality was shaped from middle school.
Yes.
Imagine you just missed it.
My whole financial income is based on middle school.
That's true. No, but a Big Mouth is just about a guy on Zoom.
But, I mean, it's proof that it's an important part, you know? Yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, like, for sure. And also, you guys went through it with a child who was like a functional human inside of it. Our son was born into it and was not, we were not sharing him. He was not in the world until the vaccine, like it started to open up.
Though, the most damaged people from the pandemic are like middle schoolers and mothers, I heard.
Yes.
So maybe did you hear that in the same approved article that talked about the lab leak? This one was approved as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I meant Emosha approved.
Emosha approved.
I do think it's interesting how we're in our 40s. And I'm still ruled, and you are too, still ruled by those 3 years of middle school. It's so bizarre, and so much of who I am is a reaction to the person that I was then. So much of my narrative about myself was set in stone in those. I mean, it's... Yeah.
I remember a girl sitting in seventh grade on the bus, and I was all dressed up in these like esprit matching jumpsuit, and I was sitting next to this girl, and she was really like cool, and I was listening to the radio, and she was like, you know, you don't have to listen to the radio. And then she like played me the Smiths on her Walkman.
Whoa.
And I was like, cool. And like literally from like the next day, I was like, oh, I'm someone else now.
Wow.
Like it really.
No more esprit. No or, more.
Yeah. Like no more. It was like black. Kind of this cutesy look. And like, I was just like, oh, I'm going to start looking for music. Like, I'm not going to like.
But I'm not just going to listen to the fucking radio.
Well, but it was
like you went from being a kid to being like a young woman in one second.
It's so many stories I feel like about that time are like kind of traumatic. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was like someone like directed you towards, you're like, oh, much more. Are you happy? Were you happy with that?
Totally. And sometimes when I find people who aren't cool, I'm like, they never had someone sit next to them on the bus and tell them they never had a cool friend and maybe like are a cool sibling or someone.
By the way, just, and we're never going to take this caller, Jackson Lennon, just so we're clear, we're never going to take it, I saw that Morrissey was, I was performing at the Greek last night, and after a half hour stopped the show and walked off, and they said, and then it was became clear that it was because he said it was too cold. It was 50s in LA.
Why does anyone buy a ticket to see Morrissey ever? He's proven himself. His track record is proven.
I've seen him so many times. He does 39 minute shows.
Perfect.
There's so-
by the way, genuinely perfect. Well done, Morrissey. He's a vegan. There's just like no energy for more.
I need iron if you want me to continue. All right, let's do a call.
Okay, we're going to call Jack in Atlanta.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
You know what? After my trip to the rave this weekend, I might need to go see a certain kind of doctor, if you know what I mean. You have any suggestions on how I could get a very easy and very quick appointment?
Yeah, maybe ZocDoc.
Absolutely. For the rave dads that went out there and made some mistakes over the weekend, find a doctor on ZocDoc. It's a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them.
With ZocDoc, you can find the right doctor for you in your network and in your neighborhood. With ZocDoc, booking an appointment with a doctor that suits your needs, fits your schedule, and is in your network, in your neighborhood, is easy. On ZocDoc, you can find a specialist for whatever you need, whether you're trying to straighten your teeth, fix a bad back, get that mole checked out, or anything else. ZocDoc has you covered.
I know I've said this before, but I use this product and I used it before they became advertisers on this show. There's nothing more frustrating than Googling a doctor in the specialty that you need, calling that doctor and then being like, yeah, I can see you next February.
No.
On ZocDoc, you look up all the doctors in your area and when their appointments are, you can make an appointment sometimes the same day.
And you can read their reviews.
It's awesome. I use it. You should use it.
Finding a doctor in your neighborhood. I mean, it's and who takes your insurance? It's an amazing app. ZocDoc's mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant or getting delivery to your house. Search, find, and book doctors with a few taps. This thing has saved me.
Okay, go to ZocDoc.com/honeymoon. Download that ZocDoc app for free, and you can start your search for a top-rated doctor today. And a lot are available within 24 hours.
That's ZocDoc.com/honeymoon. ZocDoc.com/honeymoon.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
You seem like you need to chill out a little bit, but not so much that you become totally intoxicated and checked out of our family. And I would like to recommend to you a dadgrass.
I love dadgrass.
You might have heard about dadgrass CBD joints. They got flower and tinctures. It's 100% organic hemp to chill you out, but it doesn't get you stoned out.
Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind.
But it doesn't get you like super high because they're very low in THC and they're high in CBD, so you can enjoy those CBD effects while keeping a clear head.
And now they offer a variety of products so you can toke or dose just the way you like. From their CBD tincture drops to the newly launched CBD gummies and flavors like classic blackberry ginger, good time hibiscus lime, nighttime midnight berry.
You can chill
out without getting too stoned. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S.
So right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeymoon. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood.
That's dadgrass.com/honeymoon.
Dadgrass.com/honeymoon for 20% off your first order.
Go to dadgrass.com/honeymoon for 20% off your first order.
Jack in Atlanta.
Jack.
It's Jack from Atlanta.
Jack, 92.3 Atlanta.
Hey, Jack, it's Natasha Leggero, Moshe Kasher, and our friend Nick Kroll.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. You have a very deep voice.
Yes, I do.
Wow. I got it.
We were wondering, you're kind of, these men are obviously intimidated by you. So just talk to me, honey. What's going on?
Well, I guess long and short of it is.
you can't be serious, dude. This has got to be a bit, right? Is everything a cartoon filter before?
Sorry, can we get, just before we get in, I know the long and short of it, I know, but hold on. Because we were just talking about puberty and go in middle school, did your voice change and go like way deep? Like, did it?
Yeah, when you were 7 and you first hit puberty.
you're actually not that far off. It was 9.
Whoa.
Wow. And did your voice go like deep right away?
No, it was like for a while, it was this thing I could like make it do. And then after a while, it's like it almost stuck. Just as I got older, it kind of kept becoming more and more just like this, just how you sound.
Uh-huh. So this is what you're saying. This is a put on voice that you've taken to.
I'll tell you what, that is not a voice that I want to say no to.
Oh,
correct.
Oh, is that why you did it? So women would stop saying no at 9? I'm sick and tired.
I just wanted
girls
to impress Nick.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I'm
okay,
here for it.
This is awesome. All right, go ahead. What's the long and short of it?
Okay. Long and short of it is I'm a mid-20s guy. I don't have any social media or dating apps. So I'm kind of struggling a little bit with dating. And that's mostly because my women friends have kind of had this unanimous verdict that it's not really the done thing anymore to approach strangers at bars and parties. And I kind of get that because it always seemed weird to me that you would kind of just interrupt a stranger's night for the purpose of hitting on them.
Yeah.
So, but I also know that a lot of my friends have met their partners through dating apps. So it kind of seems like I'm not really equipped for without social media and without dating apps, I feel like almost unequipped for modern dating. So I wanted to ask, what are some ways that I could maybe adjust my life or like, the social infrastructure in my life to maybe a little more reliably meet possibly eligible people my age?
Have you thought about talking to literally any woman with that voice? Because no one will ever deny you. I'm aroused.
Can I make a suggestion that you get on social media and dating apps?
Right. What's the problem there?
He's like trying to dangle the question over here. It's like, but wait, what about the glaring issue part?
I get social media, not being on it. Dating. I mean, I met my wife on a dating app and called Grindr. And boy, was I surprised. And but no, so it was great for me. I found it to be like weirdly, it was able to connect me to someone I never would have met in real life, because for slightly different reasons, because I'm famous. bars are weird. I being socially meeting people started to feel like hard, even, you know what I mean? Even though I felt like, oh, I could figure out how to have a conversation. It had become trickier. And so dating apps allowed me to like curate a little more and actually go on dates with people that I was like, oh, I might actually be interested in this person, versus like the kind of roulette of being at a bar and being like, they're kind of hot, or they're talking to me, you know?
Or worse, like a Hollywood party or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, as Nick's talking about makes sense. Like, I'm sure at a certain point when you get to a level of fame, you probably have to worry. Maybe not. I just, like, does she like me for me, or does she like me for who she thinks I am?
Is that are you going through that as well?
Well, no, I was going to say similar for you on a dating app, you would know that they like you for you and not the voice, because they wouldn't have heard it yet. They would just have seen you, you know? It wouldn't be about that dulcet tone.
Can I ask a question? What is it that you're, I get social media entirely. Is there a reason you're not on dating apps?
I'm just unfortunately bad at dating apps. I have a really hard time holding a text conversation with a complete stranger. Mm-hmm. That just is not something I really seem to be able to do.
I can help with that. One thing that women really like on those apps is after the first two interactions, hey, how are you? I'm Jack. She says, hi, how are you? I'm Sarah or whatever. Next thing. You could say that's
send that dick.
They'll love that. Or if you're not ready to send the dick, you just say, let's cut to the chase and meet in person right now.
Yeah.
And all women will respond positively to that. I'm making a joke, Jack. You look like you're taking me seriously.
And okay. I will show I would just add on to Moshe and I'll bring that. Bring that dick with me.
No, tell him. I was thinking about sending you a picture of my dick, seems too forward. Yeah. Let's meet at coffee right now. And then I'll bring it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out.
Go ahead.
What if he put on his social? What if you just joined one app? Because you have to. This is what you can't just deny how everyone's meeting people. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm sure that's not your first choice was to get on a dating app, right?
No,
like
it was to go hot water ballooning.
Hot water ballooning.
They're ballooning.
That's something totally new. See, Jackie, you don't know about that. That's
where you go to a place that everybody pisses in water balloons.
Sign me up. That's my exact kind of party.
It's the new axe throwing bar thing. It's called hot water ballooning.
No, here's my question. Were you really going to say what it was?
No, go ahead, okay. Please.
Could he put on a dating app what he just said? Listen, I'm really bad at text conversations. I'm a this kind of guy. You know, would love to take your... I don't know.
Love to meet for coffee.
Or is there a way to phrase it so he doesn't seem psycho?
Yeah, I mean, have you tried that or anything like that with someone?
No, but I've kind of considered it, because a lot of my friends have told me that, you know, like a lot of women are going to be like FBI agents. They want to vet you a little bit, you know, before any date or anything like that. And so they've told me
that a lot
of
girls... Were you there on January 6th?
I just realized something, though, because a lot of girls tell me that that's all guys want to do is just go back and forth and back and forth. And right. They're all weighing their options, trying to see what hottest girl will respond to them. So maybe like a sincere sentence, mm-hmm. like I'm not really interested in going back and forth on text.
I agree with what you're saying, but here's what I would say is like when I was on it and talking to people, it is true. I feel like women are always talking about dating apps, how men do not engage and actually like pull the trigger on hangs. And I think that's part of a larger thing, which are people are genuinely scared of each other and scared of actual interaction. And there's something safer about this like nonsense fucking volleying that we do. But I would also say that people, when I was on it, you would see people being like, I don't like drama. If you're here to just chat, like they're like, you don't want to be the person who's like coming at it with this sort of like the negative version of it.
Yeah, it's for
like,
sure.
So it's a little more of the like, but I get it. As you said, the women are all the FBI and they're trying to take us all down. And I know that that's Jack, exactly what you said.
Absolutely. And the FBI has been totally corrupted by the kind of liberal swamp.
Yes,
I think you were saying that, right?
So clean the swamp, right? Yeah. I mean, you're saying
drain the swamp.
Drain
right?
the swamp.
We're all agreeing.
Which is also what I write to women on dating apps. Well, I want to drain that swamp.
It's actually dick. No. It's actually the app I was going to suggest is Drain the Swamp.
Yeah.
And it's a double entendre. Yeah.
Come on, he needs help.
Okay, all right.
All right, Jack. So here's what I would say. If I may, just having more recently been on apps, unless you actually
seen I'm on apps.
We were never on apps. Yeah. And we dated in the olden days.
I'm on app. I'm on Can You Keep a Secret?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just joined Ashley Madison.
That's crazy because I just invested heavily in crypto this week. Great. So
well, I'm excited. So we're both having a heck of a week. So I would say I like what the original phrasing, which was like, hey, I'm really not great at this texting back and forth. Like, I'd love to, you know, like almost what you're saying, which is like women do want to have some sense that you're not a psycho. So they need to have a little more back and forth than like meeting you after like one quick correspondence.
That's true.
So right. They need a little, but I think, cause I also weirdly am not great at texts in general. Like I don't feel like my funniest. I don't feel like I've got it. Like I don't feel charming over in that way as I do in person. So I think you can just sort of be very forward about that, be like, hey, I'm not great at this, like I'd love to get to know you a little bit and then let's fucking meet up and
drain the swamp and drain the pangolin together.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Let me use this pangolin to drain that swamp.
And just
making a commitment to yourself, like just join one app, work on your profile, have it say something like that, and just try it, you know? And simultaneously, don't close yourself off to in-person things. You know, you should definitely go to concerts that are happening in the area or anything social that's happening that's an interest of yours. The holidays are coming.
Sure.
There's going to be things. So you just, if you seem like you're, it's so sweet, but you really seem like you're in a place to meet someone.
And holidays are coming up, and every caroling group needs a bass right now. It needs a baritone. So you're kind of in the zone, you know?
Do you do activities? Do you do stuff like
this is good. This is Charlie Rose type of stuff right here. Do you do activities?
By the way, I guess you can't see me. I'm wearing a robe like Charlie Rose.
What are you into?
You know, I try to do a few social things, you know, every week. You know, it is a lot of like going out to bars with people my age. But I also try to always just do a lot of volunteering, you know, way to keep busy.
Volunteering seems like the perfect kind of thing. Cause like, I agree with you. And to like going to a bar and chatting up a person directly, it just feels so creepy. And like the odds of it working The odds of it working just feels so ridiculously small. But I would say if you're trying to do something analog, yes, things like volunteering, things like community things where you will actually, part of the experience is meeting the people that you're around, is super good because then organic conversations can happen. I was going to going to add on to what Nick and Natasha were saying. I think get on one app, make the best dating profile you can. Don't say in it, I'm bad at this. When you start, this is my thought. When you start texting with these women, early in the interaction, say, hey, I just want to say out loud, I'm just not great at back and forth texting. After you've talked a little bit.
So
if this gets, you know, whatever, I just want to be vulnerable. Or you don't say the word vulnerable, but be vulnerable, because it's very difficult to be vulnerable in a digital interface. And I think that's got to...
Well, I had that. I had what... When my wife, when we met, we matched on like New Year's Eve. And she was like, do you have any New Year's resolutions? And my initial response was like, to be better at talking to girls on, you know, fucking... apps.
Sure.
And got like no response.
That's a deathly silence.
And then I was like 10 minutes later was like, actually it's to be on my phone less and read more.
Come back.
She forced you to be vulnerable.
And as soon as I became vulnerable, then she was like, oh really? Like what books are you reading? And I'm like this. And that was it. Like it really, so it was when I was more honest and vulnerable, it was much more effective at actually, you know, achieving something real.
Yeah, because I think you're right, Jack. You're on to something and everybody's aware of it. I'm sure even Nick, you met your wife on an app. We all are cognizant of the fact that it's a bizarre interface to create incredibly significant emotional connections. It's not the perfect system, but all that matters is the result. At this point, like once you're past the part where you meet and you fall for someone, none of that other stuff matters.
I mean, it's rare that you're going to find a connection like Moshe and Natasha, where Natasha bought Moshe from a Yiddish website.
I'm like, what's the most Jewish name? Yeah.
Song parodies. Jack, would you be willing to try? Oh,
The website just for everybody. It's called OIOL.
Here's the real question.
It's ASL. It's age, sex, Litvak.
Here's the real question.
Yes.
That me and I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Jack,
honey.
Jack from Atlanta.
We want to know. When do we have to give in to technology?
Do we?
Because I don't want to either.
But
and
Jack
I feel
doesn't
like...
want to. But what I think what I'm saying is technology is a tool. And right now it's the tool that you need.
Well, Natasha, how are you having your affairs?
Yeah, that is a great question.
Is it over? If it's not through technology, is it?
It's callers to the podcast. Lonely callers to
if
the podcast.
If I were going to have an affair, I would think it would be way better to have it not be through
not have
tech.
A digital
no
trail.
No paper trail.
No trail.
No trail.
Let's hike to a park or hike you know, to meet a park? Up at a river.
Why is it all in nature?
Why
because
not?
You're or like, you know, yeah. Go to a cemetery.
Yeah, well, fucking a cemetery.
Okay.
It's well, because sacrifice it's... season.
Oh, so wait, now Jack, I think I figured out why you're single. Okay, it took a little while,
did
but
you
we got
say
through
sacrifice
the... he said it,
season.
He said it is sacrifice season.
It was sacrifice season.
All right. Well, I feel bad for really trying to help him.
I don't really like back and forth texting. I like to get straight to the bloodletting. Is that possible?
What about work? What do you do? What about work? Is there anybody that's the right place to try to fuck somebody, right?
Yeah. It's classic.
Yeah, exactly.
In our contemporary
God,
time.
Things really have changed. But I do think you don't have to do apps at all, but I do think the upside to them is that they can be, if you use them responsibly, they can be intentional and really useful and targeted in a good way.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But I also think if you're like, what kind of stuff do you volunteer for? What are you doing volunteer work?
Blood sacrifice season stuff.
Yeah. I do a lot with the Atlanta Humane Society and shelter for displaced women.
You
ain't me.
I would you think. Are not, you're not meeting fucking
I would think.
Girls at the dog pound dog?
That does seem like, yeah.
That sounds like primo. How do you meet the hottest girls who do photography in a city? You goddamn go work at the Humane Society.
The main problem is that women aren't really into the humane treatment of animals, yeah. Mostly. That's kind of, yeah. Have you ever met a girl in one of the volunteer situations you've been in? Or have you ever even thought about that?
Nah, it always seemed a little like work almost. Like,
sure.
I don't know. I think that is a fucking
I think
perfect.
Women who are going to adopt a dog want to be hit on at the
exactly.
At the shelter.
But also, no, no. I mean the other people that work there. Oh, you're saying you don't want to like be like, would you like this beagle or also?
Yeah. I ask though, have you tried fucking a dog?
That's a great, absolutely great question, Nick.
I've talked on television about what dogs I would fuck. Wait, hold on. Would you fuck this dog?
That Pablo?
No, that's Cutie. Pablo's upstairs trying to get over his trauma.
Well, listen,
on the podcast.
I think we helped you. You just got to do it. It depends on how important it is to you. If it's really important to you, you think I want to get on TikTok? No, but I'm doing it. You
that's
know?
How that's she how fucking
she's
going to
find her affairs.
That's how I meet
There's
dudes.
A 12-year-old Chinese influencer that Natasha's very close to meeting at a graveyard or a river or on a hike.
Just give in a little bit to it. Make your profile very you. Say how tall you are. Have a big like a lot of good pics. I got
you,
a deep voice.
Can you put that voice up on there?
Find the app.
You can do it on Hinge.
Yeah. Find the app and some... say click here to hear the deepest voice you've ever heard. It's mine.
Do Hinge. No, just do Hinge. If Hinge has voice, do it, honey.
Yeah.
That's your superpower. All right.
Okay, here's our advice. Get on Hinge, work on the best profile you can, be vulnerable in that text and say, "This I get uncomfortable in these situations. I just want you to know. I'd love, you know, be vulnerable." And then think of your volunteer thing to answer your actual question. Think of your volunteer thing. To me, that's like the perfect real world place to meet people is in a volunteer situation, because you are there with a common interest. The other people that volunteer with you, things like that, where community is based around it, is a
But also don't, when you're there, don't be a fucking creep.
Don't be a creep. But that goes even on Hinge. Don't
I'd
be a creep.
I'd say almost across the board.
Yeah.
Don't be a creep.
There's actually only one time.
But also it's weird.
There's only one time when it's actually appropriate to be a creep.
Yeah.
And that is?
Sacrifice.
All right. Bye, honey.
Good luck, Jack.
Bye.
Bye, Jack.
You're sweet and handsome. He's gone. He's going to be fine. He's like,
I didn't like when he said sacrifice season.
You didn't?
I loved it.
It made me think like...
He was doing a bit. I think so, but that's the thing.
See, I'm out.
Okay, but that's what I'm right. So like, if that conversation was like a texting, you're texting, he's sweet, he seems funny, or he's like, he's nice, and then you try to do one joke, and you're like, sacrifice season. And you're like, he's like, nah, I'm not, no. But,
and you're right.
On, and it might have had more nuance in person.
No, but on text, on dating apps especially, every word you... And I'm sure this is what's happening for Jack. I wish we had said this when he was on.
He's going to listen to that episode.
Because every word that you say is being weighed in a different way than conversations used to be, because there's a person on the other end of the phone going, is this person a match for me or not?
Yeah.
So every sentence that comes through when you did your bit, whether Lily was thinking that or not, I'm sure you've had the conversation since, it does, to your mind, you're like, shit, I said the exact wrong thing when I did the bit about being better at talking to girls. It's over. Okay, I got it. Like... That I can. That's pressure. And a guy like Jack, I mean, Nick, you're a clever and you got game and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure for people that aren't as comfortable in those situations, it's fucking harrowing.
But even that, like, I don't, I've never feel that, I genuinely don't feel like, for whatever reason, the interface of phone texting, I like almost never feel funny over in that medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
I would like to tell our listeners about an unbelievably unique gift that I think would be very special for the holidays.
And what's that now?
It's called Storyworth, and it's all about collecting the story of your family and turning it into a keepsake memento.
Every week, Storyworth will email your loved one a single life-related question that you can pick from their collection.
Like, what's the bravest thing you've ever done? What's the farthest you've traveled? And all they have to do is reply with a story.
Then after a year... Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories, memories, and even any photos into an exquisite hardcover book, creating a valued keepsake.
It's actually a really cool idea, because there's all these stories and these memories that everybody has, and when you lose a loved one, you start to go, I wish I knew more about them. I wish I knew who they really were. Well, with Storyworth, you can collect them right now and you can read them together. Millions of stories have already been told with Storyworth because they make the process so simple, and you can get started with your loved ones for the holidays, and before you know it, you'll both be cherishing those timeless stories for generations to come.
This is like my mom's dream.
Yeah,
this is like everybody's mom's dream. Dream for a parent. So help your family share their story this holiday season with Storyworth. Go to storyworth.com/honeymoon today and save $10 on your first purchase.
That's storyworth.com/honeymoon. Save $10 on your first purchase.
storyworth.com/honeymoon.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Health is wealth is something that I've always said, and there is no greater way to become wealthy and healthy than to know what's happening in your body, which is why I want to tell everybody about Everly Well.
This year, you can prioritize what matters most when you share the gift of health from Everly Well. Choose from at-home lab tests like food sensitivity, women's health, or men's health, or vitamins and supplements, because love and health are all you need.
Basically, you take one of these tests. They tell you where you're deficient, what kind of vitamins you need, what it is that you need to exist at your optimum level. And then they can even send you those vitamins and supplements directly to your door. It's a digital healthcare designed for you, with personalized results and accessible tools for long-term health.
With over 30 at-home lab tests and high-quality vitamins and supplements, you'll be able to find the perfect test for you or your loved ones.
Everly Well ships products straight to you or your loved one with everything needed in one package.
Mosh, when we started dating, you always wanted me to help you stay healthy.
Absolutely.
And like give you the right vitamins and help you remind you because you forget that kind of thing. So I think this is such a great gift to give your partner too.
It's also knowing, in my experience, having taken this test, knowing the places that you're deficient helps you become more disciplined about taking those things.
And also making better choices in your life.
I knew I was low on vitamin D. I knew I was low on potassium. And that helped me start to take those things. And they said it to you, they just couldn't make it easier. So basically, just do it. Go to everlywell.com/honeymoon for 20% off your next at-home lab test.
For listeners of the show, Everly Well is offering a discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/honeymoon.
That's everlywell.com/honeymoon for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/honeymoon. Okay, let's call Taryn and Doug, who are right here in Los Angeles.
The Valley.
The Valley.
I mean, when someone writes The Valley, you have to say it. It's funny because when you watch Valley Girl, you're like, oh, that's like a stereotype that doesn't exist
anymore.
They
died. Everything's gone. There's only the internet. All that's left is the
internet.
These
two do look like they live in the Valley, though.
Hey, it's like a...
Taryn, Doug.
Hey, guys.
Taryn, Doug. From the Valley.
Hey.
How's it going? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get it, girl. We're here with Nick Kroll. And of course, it's me and Natasha. How are you guys?
We are great. And such a pleasure to be here.
Glad
so
to have
excited.
You. We're excited. We to are. Have
we're Patreon subscribers.
Oh, I love
so it. Everyone should join.
Oh,
and
I love this.
Next, do you think Moshe's a good DJ?
We missed a lot. Yes. I mean,
thank
yes.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That felt like a supportive, but I haven't listened, and I love that. Thank you.
No, I listened.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
She's like, no, I listened. I did not like what I heard. I was trying to be polite
good.
About it.
It was good. I mean, yeah.
Did I
yeah.
Not care,
you did your best.
Oh, Doug. Okay. Yeah. Doug all right. I got my advice ready. Leave okay. Doug.
Yeah.
Host yeah. us.
Okay.
We can't come in like this. Hey, so...
She like does all the talking. Mm-hmm. She's like,
well, Doug's literally physically removed a bit as well. He's like, Doug, you
well,
can sit in the foyer.
We were told that he could join, so
you can.
Yeah. So I don't like to shave my armpits or my legs because I have very sensitive skin, and for my armpits, I always feel like they're weirdly less stinky when there's hair.
Absolutely incorrect. But no way that's true. That's literally physiologically impossible. Go ahead.
Yeah, well.
No, because the stink, if you got long armpit hair, the stink drips
you go
off
down,
the hair.
Depending on how long it is.
It drips all the way away. If it's super long, it drips all the way away.
Weirdly,
your...
my knees smell like body odor, but my armpits.
Because I got these car wash numbers. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so you don't want to shave.
You don't want to shave your armpits.
Okay, so I don't want to shave my armpits.
Or shave your legs.
Or my legs. I don't really like to shave. We have two young kids, and one of them likes to take a shower with us, and I just don't have time. And it's winter, you know, gotta warm up.
But how much warmer do you think your armpit hair makes you in the winter?
But Doug is pretty turned off by it. And he does make his opinion known.
How often?
How often? Well, that's a question for
On occasion when it gets too long.
It peaks out, I guess, when it peaks out. But it doesn't like really affect our sex life because, you know, pussy is pussy.
That's what I always say. Me and Nick always say that.
That's what my company's called.
He's a production company. They made Big Mouth.
Pussy is Pussy LLC. No, that's just the name of the company. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, it's a non-comedy. It's a separate shell company.
It's a 501c3.
It's your nonprofit.
It's my nonprofit. Pussy is pussy. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But I can tell he's really trying hard to ignore it when we have sex. And that kind of like puts me out of my flow.
Sure.
And so like when we do talk about it, it kind of spirals into like conversations about bodily autonomy and the patriarchy.
Sure.
And
the Patreon, if you guys want to get on there,
they're on.
Hey, I got it. You guys are great, so I gotta.
Sure. So what do you? So what's the?
So my question is: do I just like suck it up and shave, or do we have a discussion about the patriarchy and like how he should suck it up and deal with it?
Can we do both?
Yeah, it seems like.
What is Natasha? Where are you at, Natasha, inside of
the modern society we live in? And I didn't make the rules. I'm just following them.
Uh-huh. You mean you're following them by being turned off?
Listen, let me ask these boys first. Would you like if long hair on your wife?
I think everything's relative to who you're with and what their vibe is, which like partly
Lily
I'm like,
could totally pull that off.
Sure. I mean, she would.
Not that you can't, honey, but you know, it's like,
but my
hair, I can see it because she's a real hippie, you know?
Yeah. I think here's the thing. Here's what I'll start with. I have super sensitive skin. I hate shaving. Now that I'm allowed to have a beard, like society has decided it's okay for men to have beards all the time. If I don't ever have to shave my face again, I will take that up. Mm. But I get it. We all have things about our appearance that our partner has to deal with and stuff that they can also have. I want to talk about the patriarchy. My thing is, I'm like, what about like a Norelco? What about like a beard trimmer where you like just like you're not shaving it to the skin, you're just like shaving
her it. Her problem is not that it is sensitive. She's like, fuck the patriarchy.
Right.
I'm sick of doing this. And by the way,
like it.
I feel the same. Here's the thing: when I hear you talking, I'm like,
yeah.
Yes.
What are we fucking doing?
Well, no. When I heard you talking, I was like, obviously you need to shave. You think I want to shave? You think anyone wants to shave? And then as you continued to talk, I just thought maybe you were more advanced than me.
In the conversations around the patriarchy.
Well,
specific
just in the
to
sense,
bodily autonomy
like,
and body
I,
hair.
I'm okay that I'm going to take 5 minutes out of my day every day to shave my armpit so that Moshe doesn't like kind of get grossed out when we have sex.
P.S.
Because
never
I need
said
to get
anything like that.
A lot from him every day. And like, I want him to be as attracted to me as possible. And if that means that in the morning I need to like really quickly like shave under my arms, which are not sensitive. So, you know, if you really have this issue, that might be different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like that big of a price to pay to, scintillate him enough.
Well, wait a minute.
To have him always like be in a good mood.
What, Doug?
Where do you stand on it?
Well, I have never made a comment on Natasha body hair wise because
but you would not like it
because I have never had to because she's always been a person that shaved her legs and shaved her armpits, so I never had to have that conversation.
I will just also say that, and I don't. I hope I'm not sharing out of school, but they purely have armpit sex.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
that should be.
And we share that with our friends. That's like our main thing that we talk to our friends about. That's why Nick knows that.
Yeah.
We're like an armpit sex couple. Having dated in the kind of weirder subculture-y, Burning Man-y kind of world, I dated many women that didn't shave their legs and didn't shave their armpits.
I have too.
And it's not. Is it my aesthetic preference? I guess no, but it's
no.
But it's definitely never been something that I've commented on in a person
or
that
stopped
I was,
you from trying to fucking get.
Well, because what I always say, pussy is pussy. That's right. That's my thing that I say.
By the way, it is a 501c3. So anytime that gets mentioned, there is a $50 donation that is made.
It's like the Shriners. but
I agree. I would just also I'm like, but you guys married each other. You guys got married each other. Like you both know who you both are.
Yeah. What
you knew going into this that she was gonna fucking be like, I'm not shaving my legs and my armpits, right?
No, I lied.
Oh, you used to do it?
Also, fuck the patriarchy, but not him. You know, you guys got kids together. He's cool. You know, you can still, like, fuck the patriarchy, but, like, I'm just going to, like, shave my legs, though, for this guy who that's how he likes it. And we're roommates and we sleep together and I'm always rubbing up against him. I need to talk to him. He's the main person I talk to in a sexual way. Like, it's not that big of a deal to, like, give it up.
I do have a specific opinion on this.
Okay, maybe
I think that when it comes to women shaving their legs and armpits, the man just accepts. It's kind of like luck of the draw. You accept the person
that
it's not your business. It's so boorish and sexist to be like, could you change the way that the universe made your organism for my aesthetic preference? So if you are with a woman who never shaves, you just go, oh, cool. If you like that better, because a lot of guys like a very hairy woman.
Go ahead. I have a question, though. Yeah. I have a question for the ladies what about, it's like, I don't like your beard. I don't like your mustache.
I think that you consider shaving it.
if your partner is like, I really don't like that.
Yeah, like if every time I kiss someone, it smells like soup and it's like scratchy. I'm just like, could you shave that, please?
No, but it is obviously different, right? Because it doesn't have any, it's not connected to any thing.
My dad has mustache.
Oh, okay. You don't want to fuck your dad.
I put a mustache on a man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should, Doug, you should say, take advantage of what she's doing and say, you know, my mom had super hairy legs and pits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, well, I have an idea. All right. This is very, you don't have to answer, but how often do you have sex?
Well, we have a 2-year-old and a 10-month-old.
So every night. So
probably once a week.
Okay, yeah. So what if once a week you shave your armpit hair and legs and you guys have like a standing appointment like once a week to fuck with you shaved? Because I also think that you're kind of getting off like having it grow out. You like it and that's cool and you should appreciate that, Doug.
What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea. The only issue is like, you know, then it grows back and it's
stubbly. Yeah. I do think there's something about like, if that's what she's into, I think it's also like, it's just about your part, finding out what your partner is like, just you embracing whatever it is your partner's doing and be like, that's hot now. Like, you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
Like, oh, you got fucking underarm. Let me dig my fucking nose in there.
I totally agree.
Smell the nose smell because you have underarm hair.
You will.
So it's not catching the odor.
Well, I knew what I was getting into when we, you know, first started getting together. She had just gone to college in San Francisco.
Oh, classic armpit hair.
Yeah.
Say no more, brother.
I knew where I was. I knew where I stood.
Yeah, you know where.
We call that a lib pit. That's what that is. No, here's a possible solution. I do think Nick is right. It isn't possible to switch context and go like, "What if I wanted to grow a mustache?" Because there's no It has no connection to enforced beauty standards.
What did our therapist call it,
hon?
Whataboutisms? Like, right. it's just like, what about this? Well, okay, what about this? And then.
But here's my real solution. If you wanted to do it, you do what you want with your body, okay? But if you decided, you know what, I'm going to give it up for Doug, there are ways for you to not shave anymore, and you could have your shit lasered off and it would never come back. So that's in the realm of possibility. I'm not saying you should do that. Here's what I'm saying you should actually do is split the difference. Shave one armpit and one leg, and then you guys have side sex so that Doug gets what he wants, right? And then you turn over and you're the feminist that you always wanted to be on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's my real advice.
I will say, though, that if someone had like leg hair, I feel like that would be less uncomfortable than someone growing out their leg hair.
I thought you were going to say something else.
You don't want a girl with leg hair.
Wait.
That's rough. I don't really? Think you guys want that.
I think I got it.
I don't care.
Doug, do you prefer leg hair or armpit hair? What's your preference?
For smooth legs over...
What about that? Even though it is enforcing patriarchal beauty standards, what if you guys...
Only on the bottom half of your body, and we all know that's the one that doesn't fucking matter.
The bottom half is mine. The top half you can have for yourself. And that includes your mind? What?
I'm always touching her legs. When am I touching her armpits?
I think there is something slightly sexy about a hairy armpit. And I think, what about that? What do you think? What if you split the difference and you shave your leg? I mean, I don't want to tell you that. It's your business. It's your body, your business. But what if what if you do that? Doug gets the legs and you get the pits.
I'm down for the pits.
Why don't you shave your legs and your armpit hair and make him like go to like some women's studies classes with
Ooh,
you?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or
too.
Like figure out a book you guys can read together. Like, it's not like him becoming more of a feminist doesn't necessarily have to be about, you know, turning him off, maybe.
It has a little to do with the fact that that he looks like Eli Manning.
It's got to be connected.
Do you look like Eli Manning in real life?
I got Michael Phelps quite a lot.
Oh, okay.
I could see the Phelps for sure.
Okay.
And that's what it is.
A high functioning depressive athlete.
But also a guy that shaves all of his body hair so that he can have less drag in the water.
There might be other ways to that issue or other, you know, enlightening ways to get to like a more evolved state when it comes to like you asserting yourself.
But also it is weird.
But I'm also old fashioned.
It is weird for a man to jump into. You guys are married though, so even weird sexism laden expectations of the conversation are still on the table because you're married. And so I think like finding a compromise is what's and some maybe finding something Doug does that drives you crazy that he really cares about, you know, finding some solution where both of you are sacrificing and both of you are getting something that you want. I think that's your way.
Video games.
Video games. Oh, brother. Shit.
Sorry, Doug. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Oh, shit.
Well, no, that's sacred to men. And so that actually you can't comment on. Yeah.
Yeah. If he doesn't get to play video games, he'll get a massive rash under his arms and on his legs every week.
He's got very sensitive thumbs. He has to touch plastic.
Oh, man.
Well, I think you both have to love the what's, you know, good about the other person. It's kind of cool that she's finding her feminism, you know, and, you know, he's trying to be game, try to be a little into the fact that she's like becoming this new person and becoming more her, feeling herself a little more. And I think it's all very positive. And Moshe, maybe I'm going to grow out my arm hair for you.
Yeah. Sounds fine to me.
I'm kind of feeling you, actually.
Hey, you do what
and
you
I,
want.
I got to say, as someone with very sensitive skin, like, you can't underestimate how unpleasant it is to like shave all the time and like what that does to your body.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that.
But I think that that Doug, it's very easy to, as a man, go, hey, this is just the way it is. You know, guys like it. It's a beauty standard. That's the way it is. So even if she does shave for you, I think Natasha's right. Finding the reason that it's pigheaded and insane to assume that a woman should comport to your beauty standards by reading some books about it, just wrapping your brain around what the ask is, why it's not just you going like, hey, it's just, it is what it is. Michael Phelps did it. I do it. I think that's a good thing too.
You guys should read what? The Feminine Mystique.
I don't know what the book is.
You should read.
It's called Penthouse Forum.
Yep. Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, and then I think you'd be good to go.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I think getting to this, talking together, like, he seems pretty feminine.
You know what actually is good? You know what's a good read is the Archie comics. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's worth the read.
Only in the grocery store line.
Yeah, exactly. All right. If not, just go watch Riverdale.
Yeah.
Actually, there it is. Sit. You guys can do that together.
All right. Well, you guys, good luck out
how's
there.
How's two with the 10-month-old? How's that?
It's rough.
Yeah.
It is. It's a little rough.
What's rougher, that or your legs? Like if you run your hand up it.
My legs right now are pretty fuzzy and fluffy.
Oh, mama.
So
there you go.
Oh, there we go. Doug, get into it, dude. It's called a hirsute.
I like them. But he's a really good dad. He's a really good husband. And so I want him to like enjoy our sex, but I also am like,
we got two kids. We're, you know.
How about it?
5 minutes off here.
I was going to say, good for you. Two kids under two fucking once a week. Yeah. You guys are doing good work.
How about a spandex bodysuit that you have printed your naked body on it, but and then you wear it over the hair and you cut a hole in the crotch and so he can run his hands up the spandex. This is, I think, actually a good idea.
All right. Well, good luck, you two. I feel like everything's going to succeed
and
for
thank you.
You
for being Patreon subscribers. We'll send you a
of
razor.
Of course. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
All you do.
Bye, yeah. You guys.
And just
thank
remember,
you.
Guys, the patriarchy is the patriarchy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're starting a new company.
That's the new one. Sorry.
Bye, right, guys.
Well,
bye.
I think
and that one is for profit.
It's a hardcore for profit. We invented profit.
Yeah.
I feel like we helped them.
I feel like we went to a lot of different places tonight.
Nick, you had some great advice.
Yep.
I think that's such evolved advice. He's like, just try to get into whatever they're into. That's right. What I'm into now.
I think that's, we all should be doing that for ourselves and for whoever we're with.
Because it all gets old, right? Yeah, so you might as well try to get into something new.
Yeah.
And that's part of the, part of the process of having a long-term partner is you're like, the thing that they're into that you never knew you would be into, you're like, oh, I guess I'm into that. It just took a while for me to figure that out because
that
that's this person's
thing.
I love
fucking armpits.
Yep, that's my thing. Pangolin armpits.
Yeah.
Okay, well, watch Nick's special Little Big Boy on Netflix. Nick, you're so funny. Your special's hilarious.
Thank you, guys.
We all know about your TV shows and your huge movie career.
Bing bong.
Thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you guys for having me. I love the show.
Nick, we love you.
Okay, thanks.